mentally or physically, success can be defined as getting up one more time after you've been knocked down over and over and over again. I'm T. Wood, and this is Triumphant Moments, where I highlight significant moments beyond the surface to inform, encourage, and inspire people to triumph over their life's challenges. With me, I said, with me today, I have none other than Hannah Bonecutter. She is from Illinois. She has a Bachelor of Science from the University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign, and a Master's of Public Health from the University of Illinois, Chicago. She's taught as a licensed educator in the U.S. and abroad. Now, while also playing the role of an entrepreneur with her own professional organization business entitled Bone Clutter, We Organize to the Bone. In the arts realm, Hannah is an award-winning filmmaker, spoken word poet, actress, and model. She currently resides in Washington, D.C. Welcome, welcome, welcome. How you feel?
I feel wonderful, amazingly blessed. Thank you so much, T. Woods, for that outstanding introduction. So appreciate it.
Hey, it's easy to speak the truth.
That's true.
So just jumping right on into it, give us an idea of what your daily routine looks like, let's say Monday through Friday. I know not every day can just be a typical day, but what would a day, just during the day, your daily routine look like Monday through Friday?
Yeah. Ooh, I love that question because I think that your regular routine should be health-based. I'm very much a pro. If you ain't got your health, you don't have anything else. Health is your wealth. For me, I wake up and immediately drink water. I break my quote unquote fast with water. I really don't actually eat breakfast. Haven't been doing that for many, many years, but different science say different things on that. And drink water and do my workout. I have my schedule where I'm doing my workout by 6 a.m. And finishing hopefully by 8:30. 8:30 is depending on where I'm at. If I go to the gym or I do my home workout, and then I'm doing my work with whichever my day job. So normally, as of right now, that's with the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and being in various meetings, virtual most of the time, and whatnot, and knocking out those tasks, and then after. Or during, depending on when my lunch is or can be. And after, I also try and get outside and take a walk, which is also extremely health-based, get my body moving and enjoy the beautiful weather. I'm here in Washington, D.C., but I'm from Chicago. So it is not warm how it is here at this time of year. So I try, you know.
She letting y'all know. Hold up. All right. I'm here now.
So trying to take full advantage of that. And then do my best to read something during the day. I'm really working on trying to read a physical book. I have a long book list, but I'm also, of course, check my personal email as well as my business emails. And within those, I'm definitely reading at least an article or five.
Okay. Sounds like you have a multitude of things that you could kind of switch to on any given day. Is there a particular ritual that you do, like that you know you do every single day? Like, is there one thing that you do consistently every single day?
I would say it's two. One is prayer, although I'm growing in that because I want to be more disciplined in the time that I allot to it. Sometimes my prayer may be all of 25 seconds in a day. But I have a lot more I need to speak with God about for me. So I want that to be longer. I keep a prayer list too of things and people that I'm praying for and whatnot in my phone. But prayer, definitely. And drinking water. I drink at least, I'll show you right here. I got it right next to me. I drink at least about 3 of these a day.
Okay. Okay. Yep. Y'all know I was going to have her. Listen, to all the audience out there, I was going to fact check because she mentioned water like 2-3 times. So I was going to ask her to show us your bottle. We want to see. All right. Look at here. But I tell you what, and just switching lanes for a second here, let's take a little walk. Let's take a little stroll here, you know, and getting to know you. And specifically that little area or that moment in your upbringing, what was it like growing up in your household? Any siblings? Just the upbringing. What was it like? You know, any siblings, oldest, youngest, only child? How was it?
Well, I would definitely say the themes of my household that I grew up in, which I'm so blessed to have done, would be love, inclusivity, and encouragement. I grew up with both my parents married in a household, and I also grew up in a multi-ethnic, multiracial household. So it was always very diverse. And in the neighborhood I grew up in, which is a suburb of Chicago, but right next to the west side of Chicago. So it's Oak Park, for those that may be familiar. Yep. And I grew up right off of North Avenue, which is a big Chicago street, probably equivalent to like Connecticut Street out here, or Pennsylvania Avenue out here in Washington, D.C. And so I absolutely loved it. And there was always so much love within my household. My parents, I did grow up as an only child. But I always was also at friends' houses and with amongst their family, and kind of immersed in their families because my parents worked a lot. So, and I always encouraged to do my different interests, which I think has really blossomed and is reflective of what I've been able to do and kind of represent today and my diversity in careers.
We're going to get to that, but I'm so glad that you gave us a little peek into that. See, this is the foundation right now, y'all. I want y'all to pay attention. This is the foundation of this bone cutter here. So now, only child, but yet you made sure what I'm hearing. Now, this may be the therapist in me working in the mental health profession, but you mentioned only child, but yet you made sure to put out there that you actually was exposed to, you know, friends and different things that you would participate a part of. So it really sounds like even though you were, because there's a misconception with only children sometimes, as though, you know, so limited and not as exposed to the variety of things. That can go for anybody, but you make sure you said that there was a level to where you had friends. Did you do the sleepovers, things of that sort? Part of different sports, anything like that?
All of it. Yes. I was always in sports, doing multiple seasons, like year round. Yes.
Yes. Look, I can say this as a parent. Listen, showing support for your children and being able to involve in that, it gives you superpowers. Okay. So tell me this, mom, dad, did one show up more than the other to different events that you was a part of, or would you say it was pretty equal? What would you say?
Yeah. See, and that's a great question. I think in particular because parents and just adults work different types of jobs and work and shifts.
Thank you.
So, and I acknowledge that and learned to better understand that as I got older, because in addition to being at friends' houses and whatnot, I was also a part of an after school program called Hepzibah. Because again, my parents work so much and long hours. So I would literally be at the school, at my elementary school, from 7:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. at night, so all day, most times. And then sometimes for the after school program, instead of going to that, which costs money, I would go to a best friend's house and stay with and be with their grandma and whatnot until my mom got off. So it was that type of setup. just to give you that picture, that backdrop. Mm-hmm. And then to directly answer who came to more, as I increased in my extracurriculars, sports, spoken word poetry and whatnot, particularly in high school, my mother was able to come to more. And okay. I think that was mainly due to she was in closer proximity. Oftentimes my father would be working further out and working sometimes a bit longer hours, but they both did. And sometimes they couldn't come, you know, but
right.
Yeah.
But they didn't love you less.
Exactly. Exactly.
Come on. it was something that I want to make sure that all the audience knows that you said that really stood out. That was a broad question that I kind of asked you, and you really helped to break it down that it kind of varied as you grew up, you know, mm-hmm. and mom was more in position, whatever it was with work, whatever was taking up her time to or proximity to where she could come. Dad might have been somewhere further or just the hours he worked. So it really just depends. It's a case by case scenario, y'all. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, depends on what the situation is, you know, with our folks. And, you know, but at the end of the day, I'm hearing your expression of they just pretty much did what they can do to make sure that they supported you is what I'm hearing.
Yes.
And that's a big deal, y'all. So yeah. I tell you what, one thing I'm going to do right now, I'm going to say a word and you tell me the top three things that come to mind when I say this word.
Okay.
Culture. Give me three words that come to mind when I say culture.
Heritage, environment, relationships.
Look at here, y'all. Okay, you're gonna get me started. Okay. Okay. So first, let's jump on to heritage. Give me just a consolidated version. What made heritage be one of the top three things that you mentioned when I say culture? Heritage. Mm-hmm.
Because to me, and I'm sure this word can be broken down a few different ways, but to me, when I hear heritage, I hear one's, I think of lineage in terms of bloodline, which can be easily linked to or oftentimes thought of as in close relationship with ethnicity, race, also region, right? Heritage, at much time, is shaped by where somebody grew up. I've learned living out here in DC, the culture due to the region is much different just because of where it is in the United States versus Chicago, which is Midwest, and DC is kind of Southeast. Mm-hmm. And then lineage and kind of someone's family and how that influences them and then shapes their culture and mm-hmm. what culture they're going to identify with and be a part of. As they continue. That was my mind thought on
that. I tell you what, in just hearing that I won't try not to go too deep into it, but it, as the audience will get to know in this interview, you know, that what you just said matches you. Mm-hmm. When they see, go to the links, y'all, and I'll get there, but when they get a chance to see what you've done and see where your passion is driven, they'll understand why you chose those three things when I mentioned culture. Mm. And I had to highlight heritage. Being that a heritage stands out there, are there any other languages that you know or that you, even if it's not conversation, is it by, okay, I knew what they said. I heard a couple words.
Yes. I do speak Spanish, basic conversational fluently. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Come on, Stassi too.
Si. Claro que sí.
Going further, I'm not going to be. So I tell you what. So with that being said, this is something that my mother, Lord, thank you for my mother. My 4 foot mama, you know, yes, she's 4'11", but boy, she stands tall and the difference that she makes in my life. Let me say that because she's going to see this. Look, My mother used to tell me that, son, you just keep living. You keep living. And as much as you're blessed to live, you're going to experience challenges in your life. It's just it comes with breathing. OK, it comes with walking. It comes with talking, whatever senses that you're blessed to have. OK, challenges will come. With that being said, can you take a moment to give us a glimpse of something in your life that you've either had to fight to overcome, or it could be something that in your life that you're currently pushing through to overcome that people may not necessarily see on the surface?
Mm-hmm. Thank you for asking that, T. Woods. I know one thing that, well, I know a few, but one thing for certain that is not apparent on the surface at all from what I've heard my entire life. And something that I've gotten much better in dealing with, to put kind of in more simpler terms, but is that a part of my identity, which does influence culture, is I am adopted. And I've been adopted since I was a baby. However, and I'm so thankful, I wouldn't change a thing about any of that. To get to that kind of mindset took time and challenge mentally, for sure. And the stories of my birth parents and some birth family members are not so nice. And it hurts, but we're working through that and praying through that. So yeah, but that's probably the biggest one. And nobody is ever able to discern that or tell that upon meeting me or getting to know me even a certain amount. So
Right. Let me make sure the audience knows. Look, y'all, Triumphant Moment family, first and foremost, and you can attest for this, not at one time before this interview did you tell me or express that you were adopted. This is the conversation that we're having, that we have here on this podcast, is absolutely organic. This expression of being of what you've experienced in your life, it's just huge. All right. And so to show how big it is, because I worked in foster care. All right. So I've worked in that field for some years, and I provided therapeutic services to the families that adopted, to the children that were being adopted or that were just in foster care in general. And so with that being said, see, so I'm very familiar with the mind of what it takes. You had this from birth, what you just expressed. So for someone, so for many people that will see this interview that are in foster care or that were adopted, that are adopted, and they feel a level of emptiness, what would you tell them right now to encourage them? What would you tell them?
There are a number of things. I'll say the two highlight things that I keep in my mind and in my heart as I navigate this thing called life, always as an adopted person. One, you are loved most and best by God, the Most High, in my mind and thought process. You are loved. And there are so many others, people in the world that also love you that you may not know, never know, but that do and that are praying for you. There are. That is true. That is the truth. Kind of in that, sorry, it's going to be almost three. Kind of in that is what I'm a firm believer, what's meant to happen will happen. What has happened is supposed to happen. It's purposeful. So you are meant to be adopted. You are. And there's multiple reasons and probably big testimony reasons for that and encouragement and all that. And then lastly, and I'm sorry, but I do have to say this. And for those that are in the church and whatnot, I hope this hits your ears in a particular way. Mm. And I've been to multiple sermons. I grew up in a church, a Christian church. And what I think one a story, and there's so many stories in the good book, right? But a story that is so crucial, but that gets often missed and untold, mm. is the fact that Jesus was adopted. Mm. Jesus was adopted. Joseph was not his biological father. Mm. God was. So if that's the truth, what might that say about current adopted orphan people today? Mm. Hey, I'll leave it at that.
Look, and to sum up your expression, and to hear it, and just a piece to translate a piece of what you're saying for me, you just highlighted and made sure that everyone out there listening, for any of you who have been involved in, I don't care if it was foster care, I don't care if it was adoption. Well, I take that back. I care. Okay. Adoption, foster care, whatever need be. Don't ever for one second think that you are any less. Don't ever for one second think that you're maybe any way not good enough. You are absolutely special. Mm-hmm. You are gifted. You are blessed. We don't always see it in the moment. Mm-hmm. But as life, we keep living. As I said earlier, that's when things tend to come to surface. And it has to happen that way in order for us to really come into being our best, the best version of ourselves. Mm-hmm. I appreciate you saying that. And I really appreciate you having the courage to express that. That's what we do here at Triumphant Moments with T. Wood. I want to point something out also. I've seen some of the work that you've done, and there were some different videos and things to where you basically find a variety of ways to express yourself. Mm. If there's something, let me tell you what's clear, y'all. Ms. Bonecutter, if there is something that you're passionate about, you find creative ways. I've seen the videos. You find creative ways, mm-hmm. and I commend you for that, to express it. So for those folks mm-hmm. who are too afraid and think that somebody's going to be judgmental upon you sharing your craft or sharing your gift or your level of expression, what would you say to those folks? Because somehow you find a level of courage to do it. So what would you say to them?
I would say, ain't nothing to it but to do it. But you got to do it. And truly, you know, there's a if we're getting more scientific here, right? And I'm thankful and I'm looking forward to. I see changes. I see shifts in the thought of a human and what a human is capable of, and basically the complexity of it. And I say that to say, a Van Gogh artist can also be a mathematician.
Come on.
They don't have to be the different people. We are not siloed. We have multiple compartments in our brain. That's just the truth. That's anatomy. So there's a right side and a left side, and we are all creative to a certain extent in individual, unique ways.
Come on.
And honestly, at the most fundamental level of us as humans, it is satisfying to express our creativity, even just to ourselves. And as an artist, I can say, you know, an artistry is completely, like many things in the world, completely subjective. Mm-hmm. So whether Bob hates it, Laura hates it, Tammy loves it, it doesn't really matter so much to me because I did it. I completed it. This is my vision of my creativity. And that is fully satisfying, oversatisfying, honestly, for me. And you will feel that, too, if you do express your creativity and are true to you in doing it. So
y'all better listen up. Y'all gotta understand something. I have to hold her back from the jewel alerts that she could throw up on the show. I gotta hold her back. Y'all better be glad. All right. And trust me, we have other projects coming up that we're going to work on. But that is so true what you said. I wanted to make sure that people knew where to go to if people wanted to follow you, if they wanted to, you know, find a way to just get an update of what you're doing. Where would they go to? What social media platforms?
Absolutely. Thank you so much, T. Woods, for everything and for this amazing podcast interview. For in terms of following, I'm on most major social platforms. Honestly, the quickest way may be just typing Hannah Bonecutter in a Google search or however, a bunch of stuff is going to pop up.
Literally, you put in Miss Bonecutter. It's going to come up.
It's going to come up. But YouTube channel on Instagram, it's @the_Bonecutter. I'm on LinkedIn, Snapchat, all of that. So please just find me. And then my Linktree, if you type in Hannah Bonecutter Linktree, that should pop up. And that has a lot of relevant website, all my websites, videos, films that are out to the public right now. So that should be enjoyable and entertaining.
Well, look, before we get out of here, I got to say this. I got to get this from you. Briefly, could you please, there's something that I created called Encouragement for Free. Okay. Before we get out of here, what is just something that you can leave, some kind of encouragement that you can leave? It could be something that you learned in your upbringing. It could be something that somebody's told you. It could just be a quote that you just live by. Mm-hmm. What is some encouragement for free that you could leave with everyone that's going to see this video?
Absolutely. Thank you so much, T. Woods. I try to do the same in all my presentations in terms of leaving on that inspirational note. It's absolutely a quote. As a spoken word poet, I love and I keep a Rolodex of quotes. And it's this one by Marianne Williamson. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. And in that, I encourage everyone to keep that in your mind, lean into it, and not be afraid of the amazing power that you do have.